Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser, and here I'm once again with...
Darren Howlett. And today, we don't have a guest. It's one of our episodes where we check in with each other and check in on what's going on in the valley.
And just, yeah, let's just talk about a few things, see what's going on in the world of food and cooking and whatever we can come up for this month of April.
Right. Okay. Well, I think first, a couple of things that we should talk about, a couple of events that just passed. I know the last time that we did one of these, we were talking about the Dine Around.
Yes.
We were just coming into it. So what are your thoughts? Here we are after the fact. This is the third one? Fourth one. The fourth
they
round?
Keep going. You know, it's just part of the the food culture, I think, in this area now that in the winter we always do the dine around just to encourage people to come out and come to our local restaurants and try out some different food and and do something fun, right?
So it's a little special, a little different. Exactly. I think the impetus is to try to draw people out in those quieter months and
encourage dining. Let's try some let's not just have one big meal. Let's have a couple different samples of some flavors.
So. Yeah, exactly. And it's now becoming a bit of a mainstay in the valley. So again, what do you think for this year? Do you think were you happy with the results?
I was happy. I was actually felt a little more comfortable about it this year than I had in previous years. Definitely hitting that mid-range menu with the $27.
Right.
I think that was it was good for us. It gave us a good price point and gave us a chance to sort of go over our entire menu instead of just certain things on our menu.
Well, I found just again talking about our menu, I found in the previous years it almost felt like we were going a little too ambitious. There was, new items available almost every night. Mm-hmm. And this year it was every couple of days we would change up the menu. I think that sort of gave you a bit of more freedom to really, dig deep and figure out how to deliver this at an affordable price and really refine that idea. I was really happy with our menu. I thought we had a great menu this year.
Yeah. And I looked at a few menus and unfortunately this year I didn't get a chance to get out and do much dining myself.
Right.
Just with, I do podcasts and
I only got to try out a couple. But our friends at the White Whale, I think I was there twice during Dine Around.
Mm-hmm.
And again, fantastic food there.
Yeah, I heard some great stuff from all sorts of restaurants all over town.
Absolutely. But again, I ate our Dine Around menu, being that I work there, I ate our Dine Around menu quite a few times and we had some fantastic items. I was really happy all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I would say it went down as a success.
Yeah. And I think persons wise too, as far as numbers of people through the door, I think that I don't know if it increased or decreased at all, but there was definitely more talk about it this year.
Mm-hmm.
I found that our customers came in armed with that knowledge, whereas before they were coming in unaware of what was going on, but enjoying it. This time they came out talking about it before they even sat down.
Right.
So I think in that aspect, I think it's definitely taking hold.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. How'd you feel about the passports?
You know what? In all honesty, I don't like the system. Way too many people left without theirs, and whether that was server error or customer error, it's irrelevant. The new method just I found was difficult for anybody to stay up with.
Right.
I think that the way it was done in the past, definitely worked better.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not saying that it's absolutely without merit. I'm just saying that I think there needs to be possibly even a hybrid model, just something where a lot of people weren't leaving behind their passports because a lot of people were.
That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Especially when there was a great prize to have, like, eat out for a year.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And there were some people, too, you could see even their passports that they'd brought, and they had, like, three already filled out, and then they left them. And I felt bad for them because they didn't have any personal information filled out. We couldn't return them to them.
Oh, okay. So,
Yeah. I guess I think I think that it went great. I'm looking forward to that becoming a yearly thing that, I mean, it already is, but I'm looking forward to the, customers embracing it, knowing it's coming up, start talking about it beforehand. That I see the seeds of that already starting. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Another thing we should talk about, though, switching gears a little bit, I didn't get to attend. I don't think you got to attend either, but you touch in with a lot more of these people than I do. The Springtoberfest, the little food festival, drink festival downtown.
Springtoberfest, which is a springtime version of Oktoberfest.
Right, yeah. It was just down a couple blocks from where we are, down at, what was it, the Gladstone Brewery?
Gladstone Brewery.
And I said, it was a Friday night. We were both working. But you do get to touch in with most of these people. I don't.
I popped in and I heard a lot of great things. I heard it was standing room only for the event.
Wow.
Jason at Gorilla Foods was doing the food.
Right.
With his chefs there. I think they were tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I heard. And everything sounded really good and good feedback, at least from that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if this is part of their ongoing collaboration. It must be, because these things can't be announced just overnight. But my understanding was that Jason from Gorilla is opening a small pizza outlet in Gladstone Brewery. And they announced that on Facebook just the other night.
Oh, okay.
If you remember, he was on the show a few weeks ago. He was alluding to the fact that there was something with pizza going on. Well, there it is. They're opening a small pizza kitchen in Gladstone. So it's Gorilla Foods within Gladstone Brewery.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's great. I obviously the collaboration between Cumberland Brewing Company and Rider's Pizza set the stage maybe or just inspired a lot of people. Hey, beer and pizza, they are perfect together.
You know, I did it myself. I picked up a pizza the yesterday and a case of beer, and I said, I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
it's my first day off because, actually, this is our next point we should get on to because we did a bit of a pop-up dinner.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good segue. So
I needed a break because Darren had this brilliant idea.
We've both been working. I mean, you've put in a longer day than me for sure, but I think we've both been working about 20, 25 days in a row now. This last weekend, that was because that was purely our fault. We did a collaborative dinner with...
Actually, it's not all our fault because we can peg a little bit of this on Sarah.
Yes.
From Prontissimo Pasta.
Yeah, exactly. So,
thank you, Sarah.
The collaborative dinner we did with Prontissimo Pasta. So Sarah opened her doors to her home, not her restaurant, her home, or not her, her sorry, her pasta place. And we did a dinner, a pop-up dinner there for 20 of Sarah's loyal customers and friends.
It was great because she organized everyone. She got everyone in there for us.
We had been talking about doing this and just putting it off. And then... we both realized that if we didn't do it this particular weekend, it was going to be about 2.5 months before we could reschedule. So with very little notice, we decided to just jump the gun and do it. We were going to just, let's go for it. And she managed to pull together 20 fantastic guests. And we did, I think, almost six courses.
Six courses?
Yeah, we did a six-course meal out of Sarah's house. And
with a nice Italian theme to it.
Yeah. And, it was fantastic. I think that this isn't the first one we've done, but this one felt a lot more casual. It felt a lot more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And I personally liked it just because of the layout of her house, how we were right in there with the guests.
Yeah.
In other ones that we've done, we've been sequestered away in the kitchen. This one, there's no walls. There's the kitchen and the dining area are... It's a great big area, but there's no separating them. They are one area, and
they
watched us steal a little bit of wine here and there, and it was great. I had a lot of fun, but I think more to the point, why we do these.
Yes.
You know, we've had other people approach us to do these, and we've had people asking how often we do them and how they can rent us as caterers. The truth is, we don't have any ambition to ever become caterers at all. This is purely to pay for the costs that go into throwing this weekly podcast together.
That's right.
So we do enough of them to keep the bills paid, and we probably will only ever do enough of them to keep the bills paid. And but having said that, you know, if this is something that you're interested in, doing one of these sort of events, please contact us and we can talk about it more. We look at doing maybe one every quarter, every season.
Yeah.
And they're lots of fun. We, you know, we tailor make the menu to your specifications and to the your ideal guests, and then we all get together and make a great night out of it. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, and you know, having said that as well, we haven't really made the effort to find outside support for the podcast. But that is something that we are still looking at. Yeah. I'm sure that at some point, if we could find some outside support, we might not do as many of the pop-up dinners. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, for us, I mean, the podcast is always a hobby for me.
Yeah.
I like to think about it that way. I like to enjoy doing this, and I don't like to think about it as a job.
Right.
Because for exactly. me to come down and sit down with someone and find about what they're passionate about.
Yeah.
It actually encourages me and makes me.
Right. But for you to work 6 days in a kitchen and then have to cram in a full day of prep and then a full night of cooking the other day and then go back to six full days in a kitchen.
Oh yeah.
There's not a lot. There's not a lot of fun in there. It does become a bit of a job. And I know that you trade off that one weekend in exchange for being able to do these podcasts. And
I like doing that dinner too.
Yeah. It's
a different feel because you're there with their customers.
Yeah.
Or you're there with the people that are eating your food. So right. You get that instant gratification.
I know. I haven't said that to Sarah. I went to pick up the equipment the next day because we took most of it with us, but we, you know, as her wishes, we left some of it there to come back the next day. And I touched in with her and I said, you know, the big difference in this versus if we were in anywhere other venue or any sort of commercial venue is just how close and intimate it becomes. Like normally a kitchen would wait until the dish went out, the dish was cleared. They might ask the server, what was the reaction? What you know, mm-hmm. was there any comments on the dish so that you need that feedback for future reference? This you're getting instant. Like as it's going out, you're getting the oohs, the ahs. You're getting as they're having their first bite that, oh my God, this is so good. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting that instant. You know exactly if the dish is going well or not. And yeah, it's fantastic. So yeah, I can absolutely appreciate how this was different than say restaurant service.
Yes. So good event.
Yeah. Fantastic. I look forward to being able to do some more. Maybe not so much as you. but that brings us, I guess, to up to speed. That's the last few weeks for us. So what's coming up?
Well, what can I say? We can look back over. We've done some great podcasts over this last month, and it's actually nice to be more on a steady basis.
Yeah,
we're people in there, so
things are different. I mean, now that obvious, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but we're back to a regular weekly schedule. We've taken, you know, over the winter, it was hard to get everything set into a regular pattern. And now everything's in a regular pattern for us. There's definite time set aside for the podcast. So we're now at an honest to God weekly podcast again. It feels great. But having said that, we're also a couple episodes ahead of everything.
That's right.
You know, as we record, we're weeks ahead. And we have some great... We've had some great guests, and we've got some great ones coming up. I'm pretty excited about some of the ones that we've got coming. We've got, let's see, we have, the name is failing me right now, the mushroom foraging company.
Right.
I'm at a loss right now. We only just sort of touched in with them. We'd made that connection, but they're eager to be on the show. They're going to be coming in and talking about foraging, not just for mushrooms. I think that's where they started out, but also other things that you can find in our forests and go out and hunt for food. Then we have Kathy from Tria. I don't think I've even told you that. Kathy Jarrett from Tria Catering, pretty much the Valley's foremost caterer. She's going to be coming in a few weeks. We have Kat and Jake, Kat LaDuke and Jake, his last name eludes me at the moment. He's currently at the Kingfisher. They have just opened or bought a small venue of their own and about to launch their venture. And so I'm looking forward to talking to them.
Yeah.
Everybody we've talked to so far in the restaurant industry are always people that are established. And here we're talking to somebody on that threshold, just about to jump in.
Let's see if we can scare them.
Yeah. I think it contrasts greatly with, we had Sandrin Trent just last week.
Hitting the 20-year
Yeah,
mark.
Talking about their 20-year anniversary. And here we have another couple them, but they're walking into their first days.
Yeah, so, well, and we had Renald St. Pierre in here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 25 years in the industry. And
25 years in the Comox Valley.
In the Comox Valley, yeah. And then here we've got this is still their first year in the Valley.
Yeah.
So I want to see that dichotomy, you know, that how different it is for them. And we have a lot of other greats that have
they're just
definitely
filling in as it goes along. So that's, yeah, that's actually, I know that making the phone calls.
Right. We've got Kylie Mangles from oh my goodness, her cake company is, I can't think of it offhand. She saw some internet fame a few months back. She did a cake of the character Ralph Wiggum from Springfield, and she did a sort of a cutaway of him, and it shows his cartoony innards as well as him. It looks like it's a hand-drawn photo, but this is a fully edible cake, and it went viral immediately all over.
That's
there were sites
amazing,
in
right?
Yeah, there were sites in New York and London and all over the world showcasing this on their front pages, and she just so happens to be a family friend. I grew up with her. And although she took that immediate fame and relocated herself to Vancouver, she's going to be coming back in a couple of weeks. And while she's in town, she's going to be stopping in and doing a show with us.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So we have quite a few irons in the fire. I think I have another 5 or 6 interested parties that are wanting to come in and do interviews. So it's great. I think too, that us moving to this weekly format, it gives a certain reliability and people are starting to take notice.
That's
and
right.
And get excited about actually coming on the show.
And I like just having this time for us to sit down and actually go over what we've done over the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Month, for sure. So I think we're going to make this a regular event of talking about what's going
on.
Yeah,
I do.
Month.
I agree. I these used to feel like fill-in episodes, and now I like the every third or fourth episode where we actually touch base and talk about what's going on.
Yeah. Like, I think we should actually just maybe just do a quick roll through of the last 6 or 7 episodes we've done. Basically, really got back in with Max from the White Whale.
Right.
Which was great. Just to have him come in here, and he brought us some beer.
You know, I got to say, that's a new tradition that's starting. So every couple of episodes, we have somebody shows up to the interview with beer, and I'm got to say, I'm enjoying this. we talked with Max from White Whale. Great interview there. We had we sort of went a little bit liquor themed for a bit there.
We did. Well, we had Max, and then we had Gorilla Foods, of
right,
course.
Jason from Gorilla Foods. That was great.
Foods, but no, he's gone liquor with Gladstone, right? So
yeah, exactly. And then we had Andrea from Wayward Distilleries.
Yes, Wayward Distilleries. That was a great episode. As well as we had 40 Knots.
Right.
Was
40 Knots. We had Lane and Brenda from 40 Knots. And then we just had, I guess this one's coming up, is Darren from Cumberland Brewing Company.
Cumberland Brewing, yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so yeah, we touched in sort of with all of, not all of, but we just realized that we hadn't really touched in on the spirits and brewers and vintners in the Valley. And I think we sort of got them involved, and now we have this new dimension to the show too. There's a whole new aspect.
Right.
Right. And then, and then we started talking to more restaurateurs too. We sort of, with Trent and Sandra and now Renald.
And
then we've got Kat and Jake coming up.
So,
yeah.
It's definitely rounding out the whole thing. You know,
absolutely.
We are missing and we need to get in, and this is probably the right time. And I realized it this morning when I was in my garden planting some flowers with daughter. Is that I'm like, I have no idea what to plant. And I'm like, we need to talk to a farmer.
We do. I think that's just it. We've come to that full circle where it's time to touch in with the farmers right now. And the various farmers and
I know it's
and
the
food
worst
growers.
Time of the year to
They're
catch
so
them.
Busy.
But this is a time to really pick their brain and find out what I should be putting in the ground right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Because this is the year of soil.
Right. We were talking about that before the show.
Yeah. No, I heard a thing on the radio this morning. They were talking about how the United Nations has made it a clear point that this year is about soil, and that we have to really look at the future need of what a great resource this is for us. I mean,
right.
It's what sustains us, and without good soil,
right,
we have no food.
Right. We got to stop thinking of it as dirt.
Yeah, it's not dirt. It's soil. It's right. Something that.
And it's time to, yeah, it's time to definitely acknowledge that. Well, you know, I don't know if that's going to become a prevalent theme throughout our show for the next little while, but it's definitely something I'd like to delve into more as this develops, as this, I want to see how the United Nations, where they want to take this, where they want to take this driving awareness.
Yeah.
So let's see where that goes, for sure.
Definitely.
All right. And events, what events are coming up?
I'm kind of weak on events right now.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of events will have been taking place by the time I think this podcast comes up.
Right. By the time it airs.
Yeah.
I mean, some of our perennial events aren't, we've already talked about how Flavor's taking a year off.
They're taking a year off, but there'll be a bunch of stuff happening with North Island College just celebrating their 40 years.
Right. So we'll see some more come out over the next little while about that, I'm sure.
Yeah. There's also the Shellfish Festival is coming up full steam right now. I know
right.
They're trying to put a fresh festival or, no, what's it, Feast Festival. I just got an email, an invitation to come out. And what they're trying to do is the weekend before
right.
The Shellfish Festival, a big gala dinner and that, they want to have a little barbecue dinner with a band and stuff down
in, a non-shellfish dinner or
yeah, I'm not too sure. It's a seafood theme,
right?
I believe it's the fish farmers of
interesting
are putting this together.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they're trying to organize this. They want to have live a headlining performer
right
out there to provide music and such, as well as some very tasty foods to go along with that. So
interesting. Well, we can always be behind that for sure.
Yeah, it'll be something interesting. It'll just lengthen the whole week-long Shellfish
right.
Festival and make it into a larger event. And I think that's what they're trying to drive at and
right.
have this as a full week-long event with events happening across the valley.
Interesting. Speaking of which, you know, talking about how by the time that this airs, all this will be old news. Something is worth mentioning that we've hit the last day of the farmers market being indoors for the year.
Oh, right.
Right. So we move back to the outdoor market next week.
That's right.
Yeah. That's when I get all excited. I mean, the farmer's market, there's always something to be excited about, of course. But yeah, as soon as we hit outdoors, it just, to me, it signifies and embodies like, here we are. It's spring. It's time. Everything's starting to grow. Everything. Life is happening.
That's good. Yeah. It's summertime. Let's get out there. And I just like being out in the air.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Nice. The indoor market's nice, but it's just not the same as being out there
right.
in the fresh air and music playing and the sun beating
absolutely.
Down on you. Or even if it's a little bit of rain, it's
yeah.
not that bad. There's enough tents to hide under.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm excited. Like I said, to me, it signifies a big shift in where food is going to be for our next 6 months, as
mm-hmm.
soon as the market hits outside. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And it's good for me too, because I just like to walk through there and just see what's popping up, so
right.
I can have it in the back of my mind of what my menu is going to look like
yeah,
over the next
for
little
sure.
while. So,
for sure, yeah, Well, I keep wanting to bring up points, but these are all points that we're going to be talking about with future guests. So, I think for me, I've touched on everything that we should be touching on today. Because, like I said, we're going to start repeating ourselves with all our upcoming guests.
Of course. So I guess we'll just put this one off till next month. And
sure.
We'll do this again in May.
Yeah, sounds great. Okay, well, you've been listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Darren Howlett, and with me, as always, is Chef Jonathan Fraser. And you can reach us on ediblevalley.com.
Yes.
And you can send us your thoughts, concerns, insights, future episode ideas at theediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks. We'll see you later.
Thanks.